John's Gospel, the 10th chapter. I'll also be in the book of Judges. Gospel of John, 10th chapter. Starting in verse number 8. When you're there, please say amen. Verse number 8 reads, "And all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." I want you to look at verse number 10. This is kind of where I'd like to take a portion of my text. "The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." This says that our enemy is out to take stuff away from us. And how many knows that's true? In the day and hour we live in, he's doing everything in his power to take what God's given us and somehow steal it. Somebody said you can't pluck us out of God's hand. No, but when we become lax, we can take ourselves out of his hand. Judges chapter number 17. I wish I could get up to where you all were. I feel so inadequate sometimes when they give me the microphone and everybody's real high. And I seemingly can't get myself up there, but I can only be what I am. I could do flip-flops, but it would just be a flip-flop. I could kick my leg, but there would be nothing in it. And I'd rather something be in it when I do it. Judges chapter number 17, starting in verse number 3. "And when he had stored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother said, I have wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee." Just for the sake of time, let's skip down to verse number 5. "And the man Micah had an house of God, and made an ephod and teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. And in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." I won't read you the rest of this, just for the sake of time. But what happens here is his mother gives him some silver and some shekels of silver, and he makes these images. He makes himself gods. He made himself an ephod, teraphim, and he even got himself a priest. In the next few verses, you can read it in your own time, a Levite was journeying by that way, and when the Levite came by, he took him as his priest and consecrated him. I want you to turn to chapter 18, one verse here, verse number 24. Chapter 18, verse number 24. When you're there, please say amen. "And he said, ye have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and ye are gone away, and what have I more?" Won't you look at this next part? They asked him the question, "And what is this that ye say unto me? What aileth thee?" What happened? This man had just lost his religion. And anybody that loses their religion will become sick. They had taken his priest, his ephod, his teraphim, his altars, tore down his tabernacles, and they had stripped him of his religion. And if the Lord had helped me, I'd like to preach on losing your religion. Would you stretch forth your hands and ask God to help us? Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we desperately need your touch. Oh, Lord, would you move, God, in such a mighty way? We won't fail to give you the praise, Lord, and the glory. Lord, for we know without your touch, God, that nothing can be done and we won't fail. Give you the praise. And the church said, amen. I hate to be so sovereign here, but I feel that the way the altar service began last night, the way the Holy Ghost was moving, it was basically saying that somebody's in trouble. I know the Lord came by and touched us and helped us, and probably today you've done a little better. But I believe that deep down inside of some heart, inside this building, that somebody's in danger of losing their religion. We all have heard the saying, how many's heard it said, boy, they got religion. We got saved, and that was the first thing those folks that I ran with said. Man, he's religious. He's got religion. Somebody say amen. And I've also heard preachers preach as of lately, not in the holiness ranks, but I've heard preachers preach that religion will take you to hell. And to a degree, I understand what they're saying, but I can tell you that there is a religion that will not take you to hell, sir. It is a religion that will take you to God. Would somebody lift up a hand and say amen? You see, they say that you need salvation, not religion. But real religion will bring salvation. Somebody say amen. For James said it this way. He said, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is pure religion, and there is a religion that we need. And as I began to pray and felt like the Lord touched me several nights ago, and I listened as the Holy Ghost spoke through Brother Mike, and it felt like that somebody in the congregation is in danger of losing everything that God has given them. They're on the verge of that religion slipping away and being left without anything. Would somebody say amen? Religion is a set of values or teachings that governs a person's inward man. And from the inward man, it acts on the outside, which restrains him and keeps him from doing certain things. But when that inner man's religion begins to go, the outward begins to do things that it does not need to take part in. And it begins to show telltale signs, Brother Lloyd, that that man or that woman is slowly losing their religion. Lord, I feel the Holy Ghost begin to move on me tonight. Whenever our inward man begins to slip, it begins to move our outward man. And where we go is no longer important. How we act is no longer important. Because we are in the process of losing our religion. You see, there's Buddhists who they believe that pain is their religion. They take and they pierce themselves and they stick needles in their nose and in their wrist and on their ankles and through their skin. And this becomes their God, pain. And there's also Satanists which would sacrifice animals. And there is, don't fall out with me, but there is Muslims in our country that their religion teaches them that it is good to kill one of us. But there is a religion that is pure religion that will make you love everybody. Will somebody say amen? There is a religion that's still alive in the world today that will do something to you, sir. That will make you love everybody. It'll make the birds fly sweeter. It'll make the sun look better. Oh, Lord, help me while I preach. I said there's a religion that God gives you, and it only can come from God Almighty. And when God gives you this religion, it does something to the heart of a man and makes him love God and love church. Praise God. You see, our religion should set us apart. I'm going to preach to us tonight. I didn't believe that you'd shout me down, but I've got to preach to us. Our religion should set us apart from the rest of the world. It should separate us in the places we go, the things we wear, and our conduct. Our religion should make us different from the rest of the world. You see,
see there are some of you right in this congregation tonight that God has given you religion, that made you love everybody, that give you peace that was unspeakable, how that put a joy in your heart that you could not explain. But over a period of time, you have been slowly losing that religion. Lord, I feel like preaching to you tonight. I hope you don't think I'm mean. But that prayer life you once have, it's all slowly slipped away. And some of you, those standards you used to hold true to, you felt them slowly diminish. To where now it don't bother you, ma'am, to do some of the things that you used to wouldn't have done. I'm used to you would have never talked that way. I'm used to you would have never wore that. Used to you've never had that in your home. But I'm talking to somebody tonight that's in the verge of losing their religion. That they're losing what God gave them. They're slipping back on what God first placed inside their heart. Oh, God, lift your hand. Ask the Lord to help the preacher. We are in a time, church, I realize that I'm a young man, but you've got to agree with me. We are in a time when not only the youth of America are losing out, but our middle-aged people are losing out. And not only the middle-aged, but Mama and Papa are losing out. They are slowly losing our religion. I feel like the burden of my heart is tonight to talk to me and you is, if we don't stand up for holiness, there'll be a time when there is no holiness. If we don't stand up for this religion, there'll be a time when nobody stands up. I don't know about you, but I don't want to lose our religion. I said, if me and you don't stand up for it, who's going to? And we've got to be honest. We're losing it, church. To come clean tonight and realize you don't fast like you used to fast. We've got to come clean and realize that you don't pray like you once prayed. Oh, God. Look what a crowd's here tonight. I ain't trying to embarrass nobody. But I came and I parked my trailer on prayer meeting night. And I parked it right there. And there wasn't a third of the crowd here for prayer meeting as they are for revival. I love God, preacher. Why wouldn't you at prayer meeting? Listen, I ain't trying to be mean or throw stones at anybody. I parked my trailer over there at Flatwoods. I went over there a few days and got to pray with them. And I looked and there was a crowd that goes to church. And I only seen 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 show up that was willing to pray for our religion and to have a move of God. And I've got to ask this church, will we be honest? Are we losing our religion? God help me. Micah had built himself shrines and altars and graven images. He had made ephods and teraphims and molded images and even had himself a priest. You see, we can get ourselves in the place where we've got it all lined out, church. He had everything in order. He knew how it was supposed to look. He knew the ordinance of the church. He knew where the church people went. He knew how it worked. But one day the tribe of Dan came looking for the inheritance. And while they were looking for it, this man by the name of Micah was not there. And they stole everything that he had been making because he left it unoccupied. And the first thing I see here, Brother Lloyd, is if there's ever a problem in our church, we are neglecting our religion. I'll come to church when it's convenient. I'll go to prayer meeting when it's convenient. I'll fast when it's convenient. I'll pray when it's easy. Come on now. Me and you tonight, we have left it. He was not there when Dan came to get it. When the tribe showed up, he was nowhere to be found. And can I, my Lord and my God, help me tonight? Can I recall your mind back to at John chapter number 10? It said, we have an enemy that come to do nothing but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And church, we'd better wake up. I said, we'd better wake up. He's not playing games with us. He's not patty taking with us. He's come to steal our religion. And we neglect it is because we're so busy. Come on up. Too busy. You know why we're too busy? Because we got to have a bigger car. We got to have a bigger house. We got to have two more guns. We got to have three more outfits. We can go to Walmart, ladies, and never pray and come to church and expect to have our religion. Gentlemen, we can get up at 4:30 in the morning to go chase down a deer, but we can't pray 30 minutes throughout the day. Come on now. You know I'm preaching, right? When you stood the first thing on your mind, sir, when you woke up, I woke up with the Lord on my mind. But now we got so many bills, and we got so many toys, and we got so many guns and boats and cars, and we don't have time for God. And we're so busy now that we've had to put her to work to pay for our toys. When she was made to be a keeper at the house. But we can't hardly make it without her check. You know why? Because you got above your raisins, sir. Come on now. It's getting tight in here, ain't it? We can't make it without her working, really. Try a lesser house. But I got too much pride to get anything less than what I got. But yet we don't pray. And we're gaining more material things. But in the process, we're losing our religion. Look around. Brother Lord, I've not been in the Holiness Church too long. But they tell me stories how they used to get to church, didn't even have money to get to church. They had to walk Ford cars, but they shouted on the way to church. Now we've got the best they got, and we can't shout with the best music we can drum up. Come on now. Hit it harder, drummer. Sing it harder, preacher. Make us shout. I can't make you shout when you're losing your religion. We need to get back to where God's number one, above our wants, above our toys. Make me shout. What I'm going to make you do, if I do anything, is fall in love with Him all over again. Come on now. How many knows when you love Him, right? It don't matter how much the suit costs. When you love Him, right, it don't matter how many extra shoes you got, ma'am, in the closet. Yeah. Now we can't afford it. We'll just put it on plastic. because we put it on plastic, she has to go to work. And when she goes to work, we have to buy a babysitter. So instead of buying a babysitter, we pay $30 a month or whatever it is for the internet. Let it babysit them. Or we'll get them a video game and say, babysit them, thing. Babysit them. Teach them to kill. Teach them to shoot. Teach them all this stuff. Come on now, I feel like preaching to us. When it used to be that mama was willing, if it took two pairs of shoes for the week, she's willing to stay home and raise those kids. But now she's got to have more. We've got to have more. And we're losing out with God. Somebody said, you got a nice truck. Yeah, I do, but my wife don't work to pay for it. And if it ever gets where she has to, guess what? We'll sell it. And we wonder what's wrong with our church world. We're slowly losing our religion. Ever so slowly, we don't even see it. And you've all heard the story how the frog had got put in the water when it was cold and slowly the heat. It don't realize what's happening. Is that not us? Where are all the healings? Where is all the all-night prayer meetings? Where is the desire for the house of the Lord? Where is our... Come on now, I ain't being mean. I'm a part of this religion. I love holiness. I love it. I cast my lots with this bunch, and this is the bunch I choose to be with. But I've got to tell you the burden of this young preacher's heart tonight. As I joined it, I've watched us slowly losing it. Come on now. Slowly but surely. Used to it wouldn't be that way. But now we can do it. And used to we didn't allow it, but now it's all right. Come on now. We're in a dangerous time, church. We've got so busy that we are neglecting our first love, which is our religion, our devotion to God. I seen here was, I know some of you ain't wanting no more. It was a self-centered religion. I'll work on the church as soon as I get my yard finished. I'll pay tithes as soon as I pay my bills. I know everybody here pays tithes, don't you? Sure, you ain't God robber. Surely you can get off old George and give 10%. You paid more than that for that new fishing pole. But let me buy my new lawnmower first. And then we'll worry about the church, Brother Mike. I'll be over there as soon as we get my stuff done. Is that us? I'd come to prayer meeting, but I've got stuff to do. I've got to work and pay for all this nice stuff I got. Listen, we don't like to admit it. We don't want nobody coming in and telling us, especially not a young hillbilly preacher from Kentucky. We don't like that. We want to bless us, preacher. Lift us up. Well, I got news for us. I can't lift us up because we're slowly losing our religion. And if something don't change in 10 years, you won't tell a holiness church. I'm from a charismatic church. I'm not trying to preach to us. And we are losing our standards. We're losing our love for God. We're losing the things that separated us from this world. We are losing the things that separates us from the other religions. they want us to rub shoulders with the Catholics. You do know that is their purpose, don't you? I'm proud of our president. You may not be. As much as I like him, though, when he stands up and he tells us that we must worship with the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Catholics, he really has no idea the depth of what he's saying. What he's saying is, just lose your religion. Just let your religion go aside. Just lay it aside. Don't worry about your beliefs. Don't worry about how you feel about it. Just lay it down and shout with the ungodly charismatic down there. I don't know about you. Boy, I'm about to hit a snag right here. I got too much religion to go shout with the Crab family down at the Coliseum too. Beside of Jezebel. I got too much religion. Religion says you can't do that. And their religion says you can. Oh, come on. You don't believe in them, do you? Surely to God you don't think they get anointed. If they do, cut your hair off and paint your face. And let's see if you still got your religion. No, you won't have it. You'll lose it. Just like they did. I can tell by some of your faces you ain't liking this. Oh, dear Peg. Oh, Peg. She's anointed. Help me while I preach. I'm not trying to be mean to us, but we'd better wake up. There's got to be a difference between us and them. We've got to have a religion that'll separate us. Make us different. When we walk through Walmart, Brother Mike, they'll point at us. And they say, there's one of those that's got pure religion. There's one of those that's got that real religion. I had an old uncle of mine. Don't you listen to this. I got so much preaching to do. I don't want to drown you before I get there. I had an old uncle of mine. He was just as rough as he could be. He'd fight and shoot people. I mean, stayed in jail. And one day he looked at me. He looked at me as he never told nobody he loved them. As he was walking off, he looked back at me. I always said, I love you, Johnny. I love you. I meant it from my heart. He never told nobody he loved him and that he loved them. Now, after he started walking off that day, I said, Johnny, I love you. When I did, he was walking off. He turned around with big tears in his eyes. And he said, I love you too. And he come to church, I think it was the first time in 36 years. He come to hear me. And he, after I got done preaching, he said, you're going to need me to go with you, ain't you? Somebody's going to kill you the way you preach. Mike. He said, if I ever get it, I want it like your bunch got it. He said, if I ever get saved, he said, I won't save like that bunch you run with. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Somebody needs to take a stand. Somebody needs to raise back up. And say, this is exactly the way it is. Real religious people don't do that. Real religious people don't talk that way. Real religious people don't act like that. Real religious people don't wear that. Oh, come on now. You are still believing in the pure and true religion. I don't believe in no other religion but pure holiness. That's what I believe. It's not a denomination. It's a way of life. It's not a denomination. It's a religion that God puts in your heart. That
God changes you and makes you love the Lord and love the people and gives you a religion that'll stand with the world is on fire.
His religion, thirdly, was not established. You know what the number one cause of our young people not making it? They never establish a prayer life. They never learn how to pray. They never learn. You listen to me, young people. They never learn the importance of picking this up every day and reading it. They never learn the importance of getting on their knees and dedicating a period of time to the Lord every day, whether it's 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, or an hour. They never learn the importance of setting that time aside. And listen, young people, I want to tell you something. If you don't learn the importance of this book right here, and if you do not learn the importance of praying every day, and you do not learn the importance to come into church and come into the Bible readings and come into the prayer meetings, it's not going to be long that your religion that God gave you is no longer going to be with you. You're going to wake up one day and you're going to look around and you're going to say, I used to have such a fire for the Lord. I used to have such a desire to go to church. I used to have such a desire to pray. I used to have such a desire to be around God's people. And then we'll ask you the question, you ever seen somebody that lost their religion? Well, Lord, I've been in it just a little while. And I've seen folks that have shouted in the church. And then a year or so later, see them on the street and something they used to would have never done. And you can tell a difference about their countenance. They look like they're sick. Lord, I'm not going to be much longer. You know what the last thing was? Not the last thing. The next thing was, I want you to get this, young people. The people he had watching his stuff was not real friends. Real friends would have fought for him. And can I tell you something? You ain't got no business, young person, cruising Walmart. Them ain't your friends. You're a friend as long as you got a dollar or two. But when the money's gone and sickness comes, you know where you'll go looking? You'll go back to the old wholeness bunch. But they're my friends. I can't just leave them to the side. They'll leave you to the side. And they're going to. It's just a matter of time before they just put you off for somebody better. Talking like this, Brother Mike. Young lady, why do you think that worldly boy likes you? Because he's out to get your religion. You don't need him if he don't love God more than he loves you. That was one of my first testers when I went to looking for a wife. I want to find out, does she love God more than me? And if she loved God more than me, she's a candidate. Yeah. Why is your best friend the worldliest boy in the school? Let's ask you, Daddy. Why'd you rather run with those sinner boys than you would with good godly people from the church? You say, well, you're being pharisaical. Yeah. You wait till they dump you on the side. You'll come back and say, I wish I'd listened, preacher. But Jesus sat and ate with them, yeah. But he didn't lay down and sleep beside of them day after day after day after day. He went in, made his point. What's this missionary dating stuff anyways? I'm winning them to the Lord. That's what I'm doing out here. That's what I'm going, Pastor. I'm winning them to the Lord. Looks like it. That's why they're with you tonight. That's why you're doing things you used to wouldn't do. And they're still out there. And you're losing your religion. Well, it's tight in here tonight. I know that. I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not even mean. But there'll come a time, if you don't listen to me tonight, that somebody in this congregation will ask you, "What aileth thee?" You know what he said? He said, "What do you mean? What aileth me?" He said, "I just lost everything I had." He said, "I just lost all my desire for God. I just lost all my feeling for the Lord. And what do you mean, what aileth me?" I'm closing with this, I believe. The last thing was, the Lord said, if you'd have knew what hour the thief cometh, you'd have been watching. And something that I'm noticing is, we are ignorant to the devil's devices. We shouldn't be. It's not the will of the Lord that we are. But we are so carnally minded. When was the last time the Lord spoke to you and said, "You don't need to go there"? It's hard for the Lord to get through that thick skull of ours to say, "Don't go. Don't do that." And it's because, listen, church, we're so carnally minded. It's hard for us to come and get into the church service. You know why? Because all we can think about is what I've got to do tomorrow. The bills are due. I can't wait to take vacation tomorrow. I can't wait to do this and that. So therefore we lose out with God now. We have made a turn, church. I'm closing. The doctrine of eternal security has crept out of the Baptist church and now sits in holiness pews. They preach it. We practice it. Just a little exaggeration. Wouldn't a lie. Come on now. Surely you ain't that tight on this, are we? Just a little. Well, I didn't really deceive them. Lord, help me here. We was talking about guns last night, and this has nothing truly to do with guns. But I knew that gun clicked, and I didn't lie to him. I just failed to tell him that it clicked every once in a while, and it misfired. He didn't ask me. Well, I sold him that car. I knew
the brakes is going out, but they didn't ask. I knew it was leaking oil, but I didn't tell them because they didn't ask me.
And then 2 weeks later, they come back and they said, you know this car's leaking oil? We go, well, anyway.
It wasn't that bad. You know why? Because we don't believe that kind of stuff takes us to hell. We don't believe covetousness takes us to hell.
Yeah, preach on adultery. Preach on fornication and stealing.
But what about that desire in you for more? Come on now. That's why you ain't praying, because you want more.
Oh, God help me tonight. Lift
your hands. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. I know we ain't a shouting here, but I feel the presence of God. Somebody say, God, help us. Help us, Lord, not to lose our religion, not to lose what God's given us. Help us to hang on, God. That's the why the Bible said, lay hold on eternal life. Where do you think? Lord, I feel like preaching here. I wish somebody lift back up their hands and say, God, help the Holy Church not to lose our religion. Lord, do you think, do you really believe that this young preacher is just out in left field? Have I spoke to us the truth tonight at where we are living? It's not the church down the road. The Assemblies of God and the Church of God, for the most part, they have lost their religion. But can I tell you who the thief's after tonight? He's took his eyes off the worldly bunch, and he's focused all his powers from hell on deceiving me and you and taking our religion. Slide slowly, one thing at a time. One thing at a time.
I could go through this crowd tonight and ask you, 5 years ago, you didn't do that, did you? 3 years ago, you didn't do that, did you?
No, you didn't, because now you're losing your religion.
Lord, they told me you got up till the night and you preached wholeness right down the line. That's exactly what we're needing right now. We need somebody going to reaffirm our stand. Somebody's going to stand back up and say, as for us, we're not going to lose our religion. We're going to be what we started out. Help me to lift up and say, we're going to be what we always was. We're going to be holiness. Somebody lift up a hand and say, you can't have our religion. You can't have our religion. Holiness is where the power of God is. Holiness is where the touch of God is. Holiness is where deliverance is. Holiness is where the true touch of God is. And I don't know about you. I'm not willing to give it up. I'm not willing to lay it down. But I'm going to fight. I feel the Holy Ghost. I wonder if there's anybody stand on their feet and say, you're not taking my religion. I'm not losing my religion. I'm going to stand up if the world don't like it. I'm going to preach it anyways. If mama don't like it, I'm going to be it. I made my mind up, Brother Lloyd Bailey. If they shut every door that ever opened, I'm going to preach holiness, because I'm bound and determined to check out with what God checked us in with. I feel the Holy Ghost, church. I don't know about you, but somebody in here is ready to lose their religion. I wish you'd lift up a hand and say, I'm not losing it.
soldier to the front lines if you're willing to stand up for your religion. Oh, we're just going to let it go. What about it, girls? When they turn it over to you, are we going to be worldly or are we going to be holiness? What about it, young preachers? When they let you preach, what are you going to do? Bless them to death? Are you going to preach what it's going to take to get to God's heaven? But they'll shut the doors on me. God love your heart. If God opens the door, no man can shut it. Get anointed. Somebody get anointed. And there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. If you'll get anointed, they may not like it. I said that they may not like it, but they never have. They've never liked this religion. They've never patted the holiness preacher on the back. But the Bible says, woe unto them that everybody speaks good of. We don't want to hear that kind of preaching. That's because you're on the verge of losing your religion. We don't need that kind of preaching. Yes, we do. If we don't have it, we'll lose our religion. What about it? I'm telling this and I'm closing. Says, Stephanie, you can come to the music however you feel like doing it. I read the story of when they used to take the World War II veterans. And they'd put them in the motels in Florida's lines and along the sea. They'd put them in the motels. And when they got injured, they would lay them there. And they would let them sit on the benches outside. But what they would do, the benches were turned toward the amusements of the world. They wanted those soldiers to take their money that they were drawing. And they wanted them to go to the carnivals and the festival that was on the street during World War II. And they said, I read the account of one soldier. A man walked by and said, sir, why have you turned your bench around? Why are you looking at the ocean when all the other benches are facing the world? He said, because the only true healing is in the real and true God that made the ocean. He said, everybody else is looking at the world. Looking for restoration. Could it be? This is the burden of my heart, Brother Mike, tonight. Is it possible that we've lost sight of the most important thing in the world? My heart's heavy tonight. You've got more money, but you've got less God than you used to have. You've got a nicer car than you've ever had, but you're working so many hours to pay for it that you don't even have time for your religion. Some of you right under the sound of my voice that are losing your religion slowly but surely. God's put His hand on you to preach the gospel. But other things
are more important. You'd rather have stuff than to have the power of God.
No, I wouldn't, preacher. No, you're wrong.
Well, why does all your signs point that way? If you really wanted God, you could have Him. But you don't want God. You want stuff.
You know when Lot and Lot's wife was leaving. Luke's Gospel, I believe it's chapter 11, verse number 32. Chapter 17, verse 31 and 32. You read those verses, I believe, starting in verse number 30, which says, "In those days, he that's on the housetop, let him not come down to get his stuff." And then it says, it just starts off just out of the blue. Verse 32 says, "Remember Lot's wife. He that's on the housetop, let him not come down. Remember Lot's wife. He that's on the rooftop in that day, let him not come down to get his stuff. Remember Lot's wife." What's the message, preacher? The message is, walking out of the city, her had a hold of her. Church, there is a problem. Our stuff is hindering us. Our things are taking away our religion. There's nothing wrong with having it. Oh. There's nothing wrong with hunting, sir. There's nothing wrong with fishing or going to Walmart. Ladies, there's nothing wrong with shopping. But right now, it's causing us to lose our religion. We're going to lose it if we don't straighten up. Some of you in here, if you don't straighten up, somebody right here, I said somebody right here will ask you, "What aileth thee? Why do you look so sick? Why do you look so down?" You'll drop your head. Oh, God. You'll drop your head. And you'll say, "What do you mean? What aileth me? I just lost my God." Young ladies, what about it? In 2 years, you still going to have your religion? If some of you don't change, I can answer that for you. No, you won't.